continue the lesson started last week Sunday. The lesson is about the fact that we need understanding and we need strength to accept the permissive will of God. There are things that God continues to permit, to allow. And in many cases, these things bring us hurt. They bring us pain. They bring us suffering. They bring us tears. They bring us death. God was not the originator of these things. And while he has the power to hinder them, he permitted them. Last week we used Gideon as an example. Today, there will be one or two other characters, and then we hope to have the final lesson next week, Sunday morning, when we will pick up a great case in the Old Testament, which I think demonstrates the permissive will of God, probably more than anything else. One of the main purposes of this lesson, that is the two or three lessons, looking on the subject of where we need understanding and we need to pray to God. In our regular private prayers, we need to pray to God for strength and understanding to be able to accept and adjust ourselves to his permissive will. Because it creates problem for us. In fact, it makes some people backslide. It makes some people weak. In the sense that there are men and women who have been praying to God for things, depending on God. And it is like these undeservers remain in their lives, bringing them hurt, pain, suffering. It makes many Christians wonder, where is God? So the one of the main purposes of this lesson is to help us to know God and to know his ways better. There is a great need for every one of us to know God better. And thereby to know ourselves better. Did you know that it is as man, I mean any man or woman, gets to know God, the Almighty God, his or her creator. It is as we get to know God better, we get to know ourselves. Wait. The reverse is true. Men and women, however smart, educated we think we are, if we do not know God, we lack knowledge of ourselves. Look at Job chapter 42. And I think I need from verse 2 to around verse 6. I'm just illustrating. I'm still on the point of the purpose of this lesson, helping us to get to know God better, thereby getting to know ourselves. The brother going to read Job chapter 42 from verse 2 to around verse 6. It is illustrative of the fact that only as we get to know the Almighty God better do we get to know ourselves. Listen to the passage.
I know that thou canst do everything.
Job says, I know you can do everything.
And that no thought can be withholden from thee.
And that our very thinking, what we think, cannot be hidden. It's hidden from man, but never from God. Read.
Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge?
That is man, you know. Hideth counsel without knowledge. Read.
Therefore have I uttered that I understood not.
Job says, I was talking. Wait. While Job was talking, and Job spoke throughout the book of Job. Not only Job, his friend. But Job reached a point where he's going to realize that he didn't even understand the things that he thought he understood. Read that little part over again, brother.
Therefore have I uttered that I understood not.
I utter things I didn't understand.
Things too wonderful for me.
He said they were too full of wonder for me, a mere finite, limited human being. Read.
Which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear.
Job said, all my life is second-hand knowledge I got. Oh, wait, people told me about you. That's why I encourage Christians, don't only understand the Bible from what the preacher says. You must take the Bible and study it for yourself. You know what? If you don't do that, you go through life thinking you're a Christian, that you know God and you will be saved, and end up on the day of judgment not being saved. Wait, not because what you are taught here is not the truth, but because you didn't have any personal experience with God's word. You need first-hand view where you know you have read it. Have you ever, you have had the experience, most of us, where you don't remember where the thing is, but you know you have read it in the Bible. That's right. Job says, I've had a second-hand view. That's what I've had all my life. Read.
But now, mine eye seeth thee.
My eye seeth.
Seeth thee.
Seeth thee.
Wherefore?
Wait. He didn't mean he see God inherently. But what he's talking about, no, I have some personal experience with you. You see, Drew got to know the Almighty God through these years, or whatever the time was that he suffered, losing his children, his wealth, his health. He now got to know the Almighty God. Read. He said, But now
mine eye seeth thee.
My eye seeth thee.
Wherefore?
Wherefore?
I abhor myself. I abhor my sin.
Wait. You understand that? It is now that I know you, God, that I see that I am nothing.
And repent.
Well, take time with me, no? You see, that's what happened to us. Huh? We can develop self-righteous attitude and arrogant attitude and this not realizing how ignorant and how ungodly, because a lot of times it's our ignorance. You see, there are a lot of men and women, they know one or two or three or four or five sins. And they tell themselves up here, if I keep myself from those two or three or four or five or six sin, everything is okay. But they never acquaint themselves that there are a few other hundred of sin out there that probably they practice every day and they go around like they and God sleep every night. Job says when he got to know God, he understood himself better and realized that he was nothing. He abhorred himself. I detest myself. Only as we get to know God, we get to know. And that is a fact. It happens all over the world. In fact, there's another passage found in the book of Luke chapter 5. Since we are on it, let us just delve in that a little more. I haven't started my lesson yet. Truly. Job chapter 5, 4 through 8. Quick, brother. Not Job, Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 8.
Now when I had left speaking, he said unto Simon.
Start again.
Now when he had left speaking.
When he had left. When he stopped speaking.
He said unto Simon,
uh-huh.
Launch out into the deep.
Jesus Christ said, these men were fishermen. They had to go out in the sea to make a living. Jesus Christ said, go out in the deep. Go a little further out in the sea. Read on.
And let down your nets.
And let down your net.
For a draught.
Uh-huh.
And Simon answering said unto
Simon him. Simon responded to Jesus Christ to the effect that they had tried that already. We have been there.
Master, uh-huh. we have toiled all the night long.
Uh-huh.
And have taken nothing.
Uh-huh.
Nevertheless, at thy word.
I always like this nevertheless. At thy word, that makes all the difference. Because Jesus Christ has said it. Mm-hmm. Read, brother.
I will let down the net.
Mm-hmm.
And when they had this done,
mm-hmm.
they enclosed a great multitude of fishes.
Uh-huh.
And their net break.
Uh-huh.
And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship.
Yes, they had to call another boat or another ship.
That they should
come and help them with the amount.
And they
the
came
tonnage of fish that they caught. At the word of Jesus Christ. Read.
And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink.
That's right. What a mighty God we serve. Huh? Huh? The ship began to sink. Wait, what? Where are you, Brother Mitchell? That the lesson that we started last week and continued this week is to help us to know God better. Without a proper knowledge in respect to how the permissive will of God operates. We go through life confused. And as I said, a lot of times it affects negatively our relationship with God. I have been trying to serve God and look what happened to me. That's where we are, and I'm just showing by these two passages, the one we have read in the book of Job 42, and from verse 2 to verse 6, and the one here in the book of Luke from verse chapter 5. And what verse are you now, brother?
We're at 8.
Verse 8.
When Simon Peter saw it.
When Simon Peter saw the power of God. Huh? The ability of Jesus Christ to bring about things that is just extraordinary. What was Peter's response, brother?
He fell down at Jesus' knees.
Well, no. This man called for worship. He fell down at Jesus' feet.
Saying, depart from me.
Leave me alone.
For I am a sinful man, O Lord.
You know, you're reading from Luke chapter 5. Read, if you see anywhere else, in Peter's early meeting Christ, if Peter acknowledged that he was sinful. But now, when the power of Jesus Christ was demonstrated, put it in the right perspective. When Peter saw who Jesus Christ really was, then Peter worshiped Jesus Christ and asked Jesus Christ to leave them. Peter acknowledged that he was sinful. You know how he came to that knowledge? Because he saw the holiness and the power of Jesus Christ. Are we all there? So this is why this lesson, to help us to know and understand the ways of God better. In last week's lesson, we pointed out that one of the great and challenging challenges for God's people is that of understanding and accepting the permissive will of God. Because I repeat, that is not so easy. It's a challenge to understand and to accept God's permissive will. In that lesson last week, we pointed out that God does not periodically make his purpose our will. We pointed out in that lesson that God's will and plan and purpose were made in the eternal past. It is very important that we keep that in mind. He does not periodically plan and purpose or something, then afterward he alter them and he adjust them depending on human history or depending on human acceptance or rejection. God does not do that. God make his plan, his will, his purpose, and they remain unaltered. Everything will have to adjust to fit into God's will. Everything. They are made in eternity and they remain unaltered. Last week we looked at passage like Ephesians 4:11. We will not look at all of them again. Just quickly, let us hear a little more of that, brother. Ephesians 4:11. Oh, 1, 4, and verse 11. Let us hear it.
Ephesians 4, verse 11.
Chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 11.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, mm-hmm. and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
Where are you reading?
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
No, verse 4.
According as
and
he
verse 11.
According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
When did he choose us?
Before the foundation of the world.
Brothers and sisters, look here. I wish we have time for me to just keep silent for a few minutes and let you think. How could God, because this passage is telling us that the Almighty God chose us before the world was made, before I was created, before I knew myself and before I knew God, before I could think, before there was any universe. You see, this is talk about the eternal past. That's when God made his will. In fact, I have a little more detail on that as we progress. So read verse 4 again, no brother, quick.
According as he hath chosen us in him, mm-hmm. before the foundation of the world, mm-hmm. that we should be holy and without blame before him.
The kind of people the Christians are to be, the church, all that was planned by God before he created man, the world, or anything. You all get it? Wait. That has implication, you know. That is why when man interfere with what the Bible teaches, you are in plenty country people who die say no trouble with God. Because God's plan on no hurry come up business. It was made in eternity, and a passage we are going to go to now show that God's plan, will, purpose, they are immutable. In fact, brother, you see, I know I told you verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, but let us keep verse 11 since we read it last week. And somebody said, but brother Mitchell, I wasn't here last week. But you should have been here. So let us run to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse, I think it is verse 17.
Wherein?
God?
Willing more abundantly
uh-huh.
to shew unto the heirs of promise
uh-huh.
the immutability of his counsel.
Stop there, brother. Let me hear that again.
Wherein God,
mm-hmm.
willing more abundantly
uh-huh.
to shew unto the heirs of promise
uh-huh.
the immutability of his counsel.
Somebody didn't hear that. But Brother Mitchell, I heard it. But that big word where Paul used, I King James scholar using. The immutability of his counsel. Let me deal with the word counsel first. The word counsel means will. It means determination. That is that which God has determined. It means the will that God has made. That's the word counsel. C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Then watch here now. That it is what, brother?
The immutability of
immutability.
His counsel.
Immutability. That means it no change. It means if the thing is immutable, it means it remains fixed and changeable. So So the will that God made from before the foundation of the world, that as we are going to briefly look at, that includes what the church should be. That includes how men and women should become Christian. That includes how we should worship. That includes how we should live. Are we all there? All that long before Jesus Christ came to this world, God had determined that. Long before he made a world, God's immutable will in respect to every aspect of the church and Christianity was made. In fact, brothers and sisters, the brothers just read Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Remember, all this is talking about God's efficacious will. We have not said much yet about God's permissive will. But I want to make sure that we understand. So all that we have done last week and up to this point, we are talking about God's efficacious will. That is, the things the Almighty God planned and work out and then initiate, carry them out. That is God's efficacious will. In a few minutes, we hope to touch mainly on God's permissive will. But it's important that we understand this too, as I brought up the church. When we talk about God's efficacious will, we had mentioned last week that God's will and purpose have the glory of God as their ultimate goal. You must keep that in mind, that you and I are not center of the universe. Things do not revolve around us. And that's why even worship, we do not come to worship to be entertained. Because worship is about God. And if there is a time when self must be put out of the way, it's when we come before the presence of God to give him reverence, worship, honor, praise. So all of that must keep in mind. But God's efficacious will, the things God plan and initiate, carry out, he did them for his own glory. We pointed out, I think I touch on this, that all that happens or come to pass in the physical or material world are God's will. Brother Mitchell, you're a little bit confused me. Okay. Say it again, Brother Mitchell. All that happened, all that came to pass, all that will happen in the physical world, everything is God's will. Brother Mitchell, were you drinking this morning? I drank water. You know, can you say, when the man killed the four people, and when the gunman go in the house of the elderly person and shoot them, you know, when the woman, the wife, throw a coconut oil down her husband's ears. And Brother Michela, is that God's will? Oh Lord, help us. Yes, that's God's will. But you see, yes, truly. But you see, that is God's permissive way. That is, God allowed it. God didn't plan that, initiate it. In fact, he does not even want it. Huh? You mean, yes, that's what permissive. You know, as parents, we exercise permissive ways. Huh? A lot of time the children, they do things we not so like, but we know it's not harming them. They might make nice, they are playing, making nice when you want a little. But sometimes you decide not to worry, stop them. Huh? You have the power to put them in a room and shut them away, but you don't do that. So what I'm trying to show you that we also exercise permissive will. We permit at your workplace. You might be in a senior position where you allow worker to do some things that you'd rather they do not do, but you don't worry, say anything. Huh? So let me repeat, all that happened in the world, all that came to pass in the world are the will of God. They are God's will either permissively or efficaciously. That's right, huh? Either efficaciously or permissively. Everything that happened in the world happened because God either planned it to happen or God permitted it or allowed it to happen. While we are still on God's efficacious will, the lesson Sunday coming, if God is willing, will purely be on the permissive will of God. And today we'll be saying something. So ladies and gentlemen, look at Isaiah chapter 14, 24 and 26 through 27. Isaiah 14, 24, and then verse 26 and 27.
The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass.
Wait, you got that? God said, whatever I think. That is, whatever I think out, it's going to come to pass. Read.
So shall it come to pass. And as I have purpose, so shall it stand.
Y'all understand? As I purpose. Purpose means as I plan it. Whatever I plan going to be. That is verse 24.
That was 24.
Step down to 26 and 27.
This is the purpose that is purpose upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it?
When God plan a thing, the Holy Spirit in Isaiah is asking, who is going to hinder it? There is nobody. Satan or his agent, they cannot hinder or reverse that which the Almighty God planned to be.
And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?
So I repeat, all that happened in the world happened, came to pass because of the will of God. Nothing that happens in the universe surprises the Almighty God or become breaking news for God. That's right. Nothing. You and I are surprised. Every day we hear things and it makes us wonder. No, God doesn't wonder about evil things that happen, negative, wrong things, or man's accomplishment. Nothing surprises the Almighty God. Nothing. The Church of Christ. Are we all there? Hold from Ephesians chapter 2. Hold from Acts 18. Hold from Philippians chapter 3. May I start now my sentence again? The Church of Christ. Watch here now. That's one. God's one plan of salvation. Are we all there? Detail in respect to how men and women should be saved. True, God accepted worship. All these were planned and worked out in the eternal past by God. All the things that I've just mentioned. The one true church Jesus Christ built. Yes, the one true church Jesus Christ built. Yes, the one true church Jesus Christ built. It's no accident. Before the world was created, before man was created, the Almighty God planned that there would be one true church. And he planned it that in the one true church, he would save everybody. That he would save the Jews, yes. Before the Almighty God called Abraham and selected from Abraham's descendant a nation called Israel or Israelite, the Almighty God knew that he would do that. And that out of that nation, the Savior, the Redeemer would come. And that Jesus Christ would have a called out people that is referred to as the Ecclesia, the church. And that there should be one church, and that he would not be saving Jews and Gentiles in two churches. Ephesians chapter 2, I think, verse 16, and chapter 3, verse 6. Quick, brother. Ephesians 2.
And that he might reconcile both unto God in
the word reconcile means bring back to himself. And that he might reconcile
both.
Wait, take time with me, brother. Both. That is both Jews and Gentiles. Read now.
Unto God in one body.
Somebody didn't hear that? In one church.
By the cross.
Wait, take time with me now, brother. In one church. That he's going to save Jews. Wait, watch it. You know the problem here, the seemly problem, is that the Almighty God was the one who created the Jew and the Gentile. And yet, with all of this, that's why it is a mystery how the same God who had originally, hundreds of years before, when he called Abraham, had in mind selecting a people called the Israelite. But you see, it's not just hundreds of years ago. In the eternal past, God had that plan. And when God had that plan, he knew that ultimately, for their ultimate eternal salvation, he's not going to have a Jewish church and a Gentile church. much less a Methodist, an Anglican, a Catholic, a Jehovah Witness, a Seventh-day Adventist, a Pentecostal, a United Brethren, a Baptist. Huh? Can you tell me if he's not willing to save them in two churches, but one? Somebody didn't hear that. May I hear it again, brother?
And that he might reconcile both unto
that
God.
That is both Jews and Gentiles.
Unto God.
Unto God.
In one body.
The body is the church. He's going to save everybody in one. But what I'm here telling you is that that plan was made in the eternal past. Brother Mitchell, I thought it was made before Christ, just a little before Christ come down on earth. No. It was made in the eternal past. That was chapter 2 and verse 16. Run then to chapter 3 and verse 6.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs.
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs.
And of the same body.
Wait. And of the
same body.
Wait, brother, need writer. And of the
same body.
Same. Body, not only one church, but the same church. Not even God can make that plainer than that. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? These are no hurry come up plan of God. This was made in eternity, but there's something else I want to show you. You go to one church and they tell you to become a member, you must go to Mourner's Bench. And then, after everything, they find out if you believe and you said yes. And they accept you in fellowship. They told you you are now a Christian because you believe. They don't tell you that you must repent, you must be baptized, huh? Months after, they tell you that you can be baptized to show that you are a child of God. But you cannot be a child of God until after you are baptized. So one church tell you, yes, you are a child of God when you believe. Another one tell you, you are to be baptized. Another one tell you, you must keep the law of Moses. But listen to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Not Ephesians, Philippians. Chapter 3 and verse 16. Let us hear it.
Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule.
By what, brother?
The same rule.
You see, we are dealing with a same God. We have God telling us same body, which is the same church. He tell us so that you may not get confused. It is a one church. Then he said he makes sure that you will be without excuse. We must walk by the same rule. You cannot have one church telling you to become member this way, and when you go down the street and this one tell you to become member that way. You cannot have that in God's scheme of things. The Bible says we must walk by the same rule.
Let us mind the same thing.
You notice it's a same God. You and I cannot have it our way. We have to have it God's way. Wait. All this same business about God, that was made in eternity. Before the world was created. And this is why when we human beings interfere with it, we are in enough trouble with God. Are we all there? There is one simple plan of salvation. Look at the passage of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 18 and verse 8. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 18 and verse 8.
And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing...
Wait. Take time now, brother. Here is a man, watch here now. What did you say before that, Brother Mitchell? That there is one simple plan of salvation. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? God has one simple plan to save everybody. That's what the Bible means by the same rule. One plan. The Almighty God didn't make it where each church has the right and the authority to determine how you become member. Because the true church does not belong to man. Belong to God, and only God in Christ can tell what the rules of the church is. So the simple plan of salvation. Here the brother said on Christmas, the ruler of the synagogue, believe. Read.
With all his host.
Uh-huh.
And many of the Corinthians hearing.
Wait, believe. Take time, brother. Take time. Many of the Corinthians
hearing.
They heard.
Believed.
They believed.
And were baptized.
And they were baptized. That's God's simple plan of salvation in a nutshell. Every man and woman, wherever they are, if they are going to become true children of God, they must hear the word, they must believe it, and they must be baptized. No one can be cleansed. No one can get under the influence of Jesus' blood. No one can find him or herself in fellowship with God without hearing, believe, and baptize. Wait. All that was made in eternity. So you come here and you hear this preach, and you say, okay, that's the way they put it together at that church. No, we didn't put it together. We only preach it. It was put together before the world was created. Great, we talk about God's efficacious plan. Wait. What we are talking is not something God permit. The church is not just something God allowed. That is something God's plan. That God has planned. All these were planned and worked out in eternal past before the world was formed. Before man was created, before man knew himself or could ever know the Almighty God. I noticed that I need to say a few more things on the lesson is yours, because I want that next week we spend that entire period on God's permissive will. So far last week and up to this very moment, the emphasis have been on God's efficacious will. The things the Almighty God purposed are planned and brought into reality. I'm just going to touch on a passage because we are about to help us, all of us, to understand better the permissive will of God. Again, I pointed out that one of the main reasons or purposes for these lessons on this subject is to help us to understand God and his working better. By so doing, we understand ourselves better, know ourselves better. By knowing God and his working better, we are able to better relate to the Almighty God. Now, why it is so important that we have a better understanding of God's permissive will. As I've pointed out, God's permissive will, it brings hurt. It brings pain. Not because God planned that pain for you. That's asleep. Oh, Lord. I don't want this to stay until next. I'm just going to use it as an illustration. I may have reason to refer to it next week. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Huh? Yes. When we talk about a person who is godly, if you are going to talk about a holy man, if you are going to talk about a person who was Christ-like, Paul was it. If you're going to talk about a man that was committed and dedicated to the cause of Christ, Paul was it. So you'd expect a man like that, when he goes to God with a concern, God would respond to his need. Well, Paul prayed 3 times. Are we all there? For God to remove this thorn in the flesh. Am I right? And the Almighty God refused to. I want you to get this now. Paul referred to it as a messenger of Satan. Can we turn this into a Bible study where I can ask different one, what does that mean? I wish I could, so that I get your feedback. What does it mean that it was a messenger of Satan? Because how come God is involved in it? Messenger of Satan means that it was sent by Satan. To frustrate the Apostle Paul. But the Almighty God made the decision that he's going to use it for Paul's good. And it reached the point where Paul began to accept his thorn in the flesh as a blessing. Are we all there? But wait. The thorn in the flesh was embarrassing. From many passages, it seems as if it's something that Paul's enemy used against him. Are we all there? So why is it important that we understand? Better God's permissive will, it brings hurt, it brings harm, it brings pain at times, it brings suffering, it brings loss, it brings tears, it brings failure, it brings tragedy. It brings death. I'm just throwing this out. We are wrapping up. Why did the Almighty God permit Herod to kill James? Is it James? Yes, Acts 12. My God, that's a holy man. That's why sometimes I'm afraid of God's permissive will. Truly. Because you see, God is wise. He has all the facts at hand. And in many cases, he will make decision for me that he may permit some things to happen in my life or your life that may bring hurt, pain, sorrow. Not because God wants you to go through pain or sorrow. I hope I will spend a few minutes to show you that the Almighty God never leaves his children without the help they need. Because while the Almighty God, watch here, decided to use Satan's messenger in Paul's case, thorn in the flesh. A thorn is a marker. Wait, you know a thorn teeth, you know no marker, sorry. Lord, you can't get the country out of me, Brother Webb. A thorn is a prickle. A needle in the flesh. What Paul indicates by the very word he used is something that was hurting him. And sent by Satan to frustrate him as he served God. And the Almighty God made the decision that he's going to remove it. But you know what? He's going to give Paul strength adequate. God never leave us. He's going to give us this to deal with the situation. Even those situations that he permits. So ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. As we have said, that God's permissive will bring all sort of undeserved things to our lives, to our Christianity, to our effort to serve God. And therefore it's important that they be understood. Sin and suffering are not part of creation. Sin and suffering was never part of God's plan for man. Sin and suffering are not part of God's efficacious will. They came about, sin and suffering, by the free will agency of man, and they were permitted by the permissive will of God. Next week, we are going to pick up on that and start looking on some case where God's permissive will demonstrate itself in some astonishing ways. The things God permit. May I throw this out. A lot of time you go through difficult period in your life. You go through trials, suffering. Wait. It's good sometimes when we think, have I brought this on myself? Are we there? It's healthy. But always be careful, because in so many cases, you didn't bring it on yourself. Satan, in many cases, bring it in your life. Make you backslide. To make you become weak. To make you give up Christianity. Come next week as we go further into that. We are going to see the wondrousness of God. We are the Almighty God expressly state that there is a particular thing he didn't like, but he's going to permit it anyway. It's important that we understand God permissively. Yeah? And it's important that we understand that the Almighty God will give his children strength. Have I been told somewhere in the book of Romans chapter 8 and from around verse 18 or 28, all things work together for good to them that love God? All things. So it doesn't matter what are the bad, the negative things going on in your life. If you are a child of God, faithful to God, trying to serve God according to his word, you can rest assured that the Almighty God will not leave you alone. Come next week and understand more. You should have a better understanding on the efficacious will of God. By now, that the efficacious will are the things which the Almighty God plan and purpose and determine and carry out. The permissive will of God are things that Satan, through the agency of man in many cases, plan for you. They come in your life, they bring you hurt, they bring you tragedies, they bring you frustration, they bring you failures, they bring you tears. And it's like the Almighty God fold his hand and watch them. Huh? Can we go on with Job now? Now, Job won't play a very major role in this series of lessons. His name and his experience may come up, but he's a good example of God's permissive way. Very good example. But we won't spend much time on him. Today you can come and give your life to Jesus Christ. May I? The passage I've just quoted, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to... Huh? May I? That passage is telling us for whom all things work together for good. It's the people of God. And if you're here today, if you're not a child of God, you can become a child of God today. That's right. You can step forward in a few minutes as we stand to sing. You can step forward with a view to giving your life to Jesus Christ, so that Jesus Christ can work with you and grant you the strength and the guidance as you deal with the negative, discouraging, frustrating things that come in your life. God is able. We need his help. Come now and seek his help. If you are a child of God who are grown unfaithful, what better time to commit your life to Jesus Christ than now as we stand? 377.
Tempted and tried, where of me to wonder why it should be thus all the day long.